start. Our study starts off the following. And since it's a very strange thing, if it was so important to get a wife for Yitzchak Avinu, then why wouldn't you go yourself? Why wouldn't Avram Avinu, thank you very much, Ali, why wouldn't Avram Avinu go himself to go get a wife for Yitzchak? Isn't that the most obvious question? You're going to send your Eved and the most important thing that you could possibly do in your lifetime. Go get a wife for Yitzchak to make everything go, and you're going to make him swear. You're going to tell him, no, you have to do this, you have to do that. You know he has ulterior motives. You know that he has a daughter that he wants to marry off to Yitzchak Avinu. So why in the world would he go out and do that? Why not just go yourself? Now, it could be it's all because of Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha was to leave your house, leave your father's house, leave the place of your birthplace, leave your land. You can't have anything to do with the rest of your family. You can't talk to Haran's kids, except for, obviously, Sarah and Lot. You can't talk to Nahor's kids. You can't have anything to do with anybody else. Maybe you're not allowed to have any contact at all with that side of the family, and that's why he thought, I can't even go back there. But the fact is, that can't be. Says in Nitziv, it can't be, because after the Keda, he was changed. After the Keda, we're not worried about him being influenced by the other side of the family. That's not going to happen. Avram Avinu is perfect now. Nothing is going to happen to him bad. He was even told about Nahor's kids at the end of last week's parsha for that reason. Because now you can know who Nahor's kids are. You're not going to be affected by Nahor's kids. So why can't he go? It could be that he's too old. Well, that seems very unlikely. It seemed that Avram Avinu was perfectly fine. He had 6 kids after this. Seems like he's perfectly fine with going ahead and going out on a long trip to be able to find a wife for his son Yitzchak, especially for such an important thing. So why wouldn't he go? So it could be he was afraid he'd die. That's a possibility. He's afraid he would die. If you go on such a long trip at age 140, you know, for me, it's like, you know, but for him, 140, that's a lot. That could very well be. That's one. Or number two, and this seems a little bit more likely. He was so busy teaching everyone who came to him. Remember that Gemara in Bava Basra we spoke about before? He had a Margoliath, he had a little pearl that went around his neck, and that pearl, anybody who looked at it got better, they got healed. The fact is that pearl means that he davened for anyone who needed help. People needed something, he went to Avram Avinu, he said, Avram Avinu, daven for me. He was the Gadol B'Yisrael that everybody went to, and everybody said, oh, that person can daven for everyone, that person can change anything. And he knew that he cannot shirk his responsibilities. He's too holy and there's too many good things going on. He refused to leave. He took precautions. He had to send somebody else. But listen to what Avram Avinu did. He was willing to sacrifice his own kid, Yitzchak Avinu. He's willing to sacrifice him and possibly not get the best wife for him because Eliezer might mess up. He's willing to mess that up in order for him to stay around with the people around him so the people around him will get the best job possible. That he'll be able to daven for them. Unbelievable. Avram Avinu gave up his own kids for the people that are coming to him to ask for tefillos. That's the level of Avram Avinu. That's what the Nitziv says is number one. The Me'eshaloch asked, then why not send Yitzchak? I mean, you're not going to send Avram, so send Yitzchak. But we talked about this last week. Yitzchak Avinu can't do this. Yitzchak Avinu is pure Gvura. He's not in this world. He's not here. He can't do anything here. You tell him to go find a wife, and he's like, okay. And that's it. He's not going up. He's not going anywhere. If he would have gone, he would have been like one of those Bubba Sally stories, where like he got up and he went over to Eretz Yisrael in order to go find a wife, and he just sat in the basement all day long. Somebody says to him, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I'm here to find a wife. And he's like, oh, do you want my daughter? That would have been the story. Yitzchak Avinu wouldn't have gone ahead and found a wife for himself. He would have just allowed it to happen. He's full of Yira. He's too big. Also, he's scary. He's a scary guy. Can you imagine he goes up there, want to marry your daughter? That's not the right way. Avram Avinu's Eved, Eliezer, was the right person to go to find the wife. Well, Yitzchak Avinu was not, he was too far removed from this world to be able to find such a thing. So Eliezer was sent instead. Meanwhile, what did Yitzchak Avinu do? He realized it was time for him to get married. He didn't know that Avram Avinu sent Eliezer out there. So the next day, after Avram Avinu sent Eliezer, that morning, he got a feeling. He said, I should get married tonight. He had a hargasha. He said, I should get married tonight. I'm going to get married tonight. So he went out to the fields, and he davened all day long for it to be a zivug hagel. He didn't do anything. He didn't go out to find a wife. He didn't know somebody was sent. He had no idea. He didn't go to Avram Avinu and say, oh, do you just try to find me? Nothing. He went out to the fields, and as he came back from the fields, what happened? Miraculously, Eliezer is coming back with Rivka. Is that unbelievable? Because that's who Yitzchak Avinu is. He goes out there and he davens, and then all of a sudden it's just in his hands. He's not surprised. He goes over to Eliezer and says, you got my wife for me? That's it. That was all it was, because he understood that that was his job in this world. That's what Yitzchak Avinu is. He finishes, he's done. That's exactly what he needed to do. That's that. Nobody here can do that. That would be awesome. But nobody here can do that. But Yitzchak Avinu was able to do that. That's an awesome level. And it says, Hashem was misabit. He made sure that this had happened. This is unreal. Yitzchak Avinu was finishing davening right as Rivka Imenu came. Rivka came, and she could have sat all the way in the back. She could have sat with her handmaids at the very end, but she wasn't. She was at the front of the procession with Eliezer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mesabed that she came at exactly the moment that Yitzchak Avinu was finishing davening. She took one look into the fields and saw this guy davening in the fields. And she's like, oh my gosh, who is that guy? She falls off her camel because she saw this guy. You know how tall a camel is? 6 or 7 feet off the ground? You ever fallen off a camel? Bet you haven't. Bet you haven't when you were 3 either. Rivka Avinu falls off the camel. She's 3 or 13. If she's 33, I don't know. I'm 32. I don't know what it's going to be like if I'm 33. I have no idea. But at 3 or 13, falling off a camel is not fun. She falls off a camel of the shock of seeing Yitzchak Avinu davening. She sees him. She's like, who is this guy? She's shocked. She sees Pachad Yitzchak, the fear of Yitzchak and all that it entails. She just said, like, I don't know who this guy is. This guy's beyond this world. I can't live with this person. I don't know who this person is. She turns to Eliezer. Who is this guy? As we said, you think she was asking about every guy in the field? Who's that guy? Who's that guy? Shalom. She asked, who's that guy? Because this guy is scary. He looks like a malach. Who is that guy? And Eliezer said, that's your future husband. That's my Eved. That's my Eved. My Adon. That's my Adon Yitzchak. And Rivka Avinu took one look and covered her face with a veil. She couldn't take it. She couldn't take it. It says in a tip, an unbelievable line. The relationship between Rivka and Yitzchak was changed forever. You notice when Avraham Avinu and Sarah, they have a fight, Sarah Avinu was willing to get up there and give it right back to Avraham Avinu. Kick Hagar out. I don't really want to. Do it anyway. Kick Yishmael out. I don't really want to. Do it anyway. God's like, listen to her. Unbelievable, right? Avram says to her, did you just lie? Sarah Avinu is like, nah, I didn't lie. Yeah, you did. There's a fight. Granted, okay, there's varnship of God. There's other things going involved. But they're willing to speak to one another in such a way. Leah and Rachel with Yaakov Avinu in the same exact way. Leah says to Yaakov Avinu, why do you hate me? Rachel Avinu looks at Yaakov Avinu and says, how come you're not letting me have children? They're willing to fight with Yaakov Avinu outright. Well, Yitzchak and Rivka, it's unbelievable. Yitzchak and Rivka have no real relationship that we see. In fact, they have a huge argument. Huge argument. Who's the real child? Yitzchak Avinu thought that Esau was the real child. Rivka Avinu thought that Yaakov was the real child. That's a huge argument. It's a big fight. It's not stomach fight. That's a huge fight. And they don't say a word to one another. Instead, Rivka Avinu tells Yaakov, trick him. Trick Yitzchak. What in the world is that? Just go up to your husband and say, hubby, I love you, but I think you're wrong. He's a crack, this guy Esau. Don't go anywhere near him. That's what you would think. Go nowhere near this guy. Why wouldn't you do that? But she didn't. She didn't. Because the relationship was not the same. She was scared to death of Yitzchak. Scared to death of Yitzchak and could not fight him in any way, shape, or form. That made her different, just a little bit. And that way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make something happen. Could make Yaakov even get the brachos in a backhanded fashion. Why did he need it in a backhanded fashion? Story for another time. But in order for that to happen, Rivka Avinu had to see Yitzchak daven, be scared of her, be scared of him for the rest of his life, and therefore everything happened in the way that it did. Even when Rivka Avinu has a baby in her stomach, she doesn't know what to do with the babies. What do you do if you have problems with your stomach? You go to your husband. You say, maybe I should go to the hospital. I don't know what's going on. She goes to shame. She goes to shame. She goes to Avraham Avinu, according to one of the Midrashim. She doesn't go to her husband. Her husband was a Baal Ruach HaKodesh, a Baal Nevuah. But she went to other people, not even her husband. It's unbelievable. According to Chazal, there's a Chazal that's out there that says, Rivka Avinu never told Yitzchak Avinu the Nevuah that she had from shame. She never told it over. They didn't have that type of relationship. It's an unbelievable line, all because of this fear. Okay, at the end of the parsha, Avinu gets married. Mazel tov. By Yosef Avram, he says, Avram, you know, goes ahead and grabs a wife. Yosef Avram, he took a woman, Ushma Keturah. Her name was Keturah. Batelo is Zimran, that's Yokshan, that's Midon, that's Midian. We know Midian. Midian is the grandfather of Yisro. And then Yishbak and Shuach. You got those 6 kids right over there. 6 kids. What in the world is he having 6 kids for? Where did this come from? Why would he bother having 6 kids? Why would he get married? Why would he have 6 kids? Okay, the obvious answer is, it's not good to be alone. It's not good to be alone. And there's a mitzvah to have as many kids as you can have. Those people that have 25 kids, they're getting a mitzvah for every single child. L'shevet Yitzchak, that the world should be made for people to live in there. Never give up. Never give up. I mean, you could say it at the end of your life. There's a famous one where a person had 13 kids or something like that. He was very poor. You can have 13 kids, you're going to be poor. Right? He had 13 kids, and somebody said to him, he said, how could you be so irresponsible to have this many kids? So he said to him, it's a famous line. Just like, which one would you give up? Which one? Which one would you say, I wish you never were in this world? now that I have these 13 kids, now what would you say? It's just, it's obvious. Like, somebody said to me, isn't it better to, you know, after you get married for a little bit, to not have a child for like a year or two so you get to know your wife a little bit better and then have a child? And I said, I had a kid 10 months after I got married. 10 months later, I had a daughter. You think I would give her up for anything in the world? He's like, oh no, she would have been born 2 years later. No, she wouldn't have. She wouldn't be the same person that she is today. She is the person who she is today because she was born right then. Would I give her up? Absolutely not. I'm not saying, okay, you can never, whatever, not whatever. But the fact is that it's great that all those kids that are there, that's a mitzvah of Shabbos. But as Rabbi says, you should always have children, even when you're older. When you get older and older, you should still have children. The lesson is being learned from Avraham who read every year. So that's what one thing that you could say, okay, cute little answer, that's the pshat. But wasn't this a huge nace? I mean, he was giving birth at 100, and it was like, oh my gosh, a 100-year-old giving birth? He just gave birth to 6 kids at 140. And nobody's like, everybody's like, yeah, we're used to that now. Well, what's going on here? Why didn't anybody say anything when he's giving birth at 140? And more than that, he had 6 kids in a row. Well, what's going on here? Maybe you could say the following. Tosefes Bracha says from Tainis, Chof Heyam et Aleph. Tainis Chof Heyam et Aleph says a famous story about Chanina Mendoza. Chanina Mendoza was very, very poor, and his wife said to him, please, you got to get something. So he went, davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a hand came down from Shemayim and gave him a golden table leg. He took the golden table leg, and he said to his wife, look what I got. Got a golden table leg. Got it from the heavens. She said, I don't want it. He said, what do you mean? She said, when you go up to Shemayim and there's a table and there's only 2 golden legs, and everybody else has a table with 3 golden legs. Why they have 3 golden legs, I have absolutely no idea. You should have 4. I guess it's because of the avos. I have absolutely no idea. But regardless, when you have 2 and they have 3, what are you going to say? So he said, okay, fine. So he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a hand came down from Shemayim, took the golden table leg, and brought it back up to Shemayim. Chazal say it was a greater miracle. The second miracle was greater than the first. Because Shemayim gives, but they don't take. They never take. The pshat is, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu the ability to go give birth, they never took that back. He was always able to give birth. So it's not such a pella that he gave birth at 140. He was always able to give birth after that. Once he did it, you're always able to do it. That's the concept over here. But what was the point of these kids? There has to be an inner meaning over here. Okay, now you have to understand something. That the outlook of the Avos is far-ranging. That everything they do has a meaning for something that happens in the future, and it's what's best for everyone else here. He had a very tough decision to make over here. A very tough decision. He had to make sure that everything was happening in the right way, in the best way possible. Okay, so be very careful with what I'm about to say. The Shach, who is one of the Talmidim of the Arizal, okay, so this is Kabbalah, so close your ears. Avraham Avinu married Sarah, who's from Shem. He married Hagar, who's from Chum. And he married Keturah, who's from Yefes. That argues with Rashi that Keturah is Hagar. That's an argument that doesn't agree. But he married one from Shem, one from Chum, one from Yefes. Why? So he's connected to every single person in the world. That when the Jews later on will have Galus, Ulai Rachmo, love. Maybe they'll have mercy because we're all related to one another. Maybe there will be some type of thing behind that. Of course, there's more to it than just that. There's something called Klipos. Let me explain Klipos in the best way possible, okay? I'm not going to fully explain it to you because unfortunately this is way beyond me. And I don't have a Rebbe in this sort of stuff. I only have I guess you can call this Sfarim that I've seen, and that's the best that I can do. So I do not have a Rebbe that has explained to me the definition more than Rev. Levin from Shari Tuna. I can't go any further than that. This is what I got over here. Klipos is something that you have to get rid of. It is the shell of the fruit, that in order to eat from the fruit, you have to get rid of that shell. By an orange, the only way to get to the fruit is by peeling off the entire shell. The banana, the only way to get to the fruit is by peeling off the shell. So the shell is there to protect the fruit, but it's also something that is inedible, that is unable to be done in this world. It can't be brought there. Yaakov Avinu was supposed to be born perfect, without any issues, without any problems. He should have been born without anything. And that's how he had to be born. But there was problems. Because there were other kids that Yitzchak was supposed to have. These 6 kids should have been Yitzchak's kids. These 6 kids that were born here. They should have been Yitzchak's kids. But so much din in Yitzchak Avinu's house may have affected Yaakov Avinu. And Avinu said, I want to take it on for myself, because I know Yitzchak won't be affected. I'll take it on for myself. I'll bring them into the world, and that way Yitzchak won't have to. That way Yaakov will only have to fight his own twin, Esav. That'll make it easier for Yaakov Avinu. That was his plan. That's what he wanted to do. So he ended up taking them for himself and grabbing all of them to be able to have it affect him. Now, I want you to think of it this way. All together, if you look at all the kids, there are 12 kids of Yishmael. That are mentioned as 12 different nations. It depends on how you look at all the kids, but there are 23 kids from the Bnei Keturah all together. 23 altogether. 23 plus 12 is 35 from the side of Yishmael. Yishmael was the side of Chesed of Avram Avinu. The other side of the world is mostly Esav. It is Esav and Yaakov's kids. Esav has 34 nations. Yaakov has one nation. That's the concept, where there's 35 on one side, 35 on the other. Esav and Yaakov stood for Midas Adin from Yitzchak Avinu. So there's Chesed versus Din. Din always beats Chesed. At the end of the day, Din is stronger than Chesed. I know that Chesed has the ability to overcome the Din, that has the ability to do so, but that does mean that Yitzchak Avinu will be able to rule over everybody else. Avinu's point was to put them on that side, those six kids on that side, while Yaakov and Esav are on the other side, that Yaakov and Esav will get their own little thing, so Yaakov can rule over everything that's there. That's one of the points that's brought down by the Shah, but it's much, much more than that. Let's really go into it. You have a tree outside, right? You're planting a tree for what? Are you planting it for the leaves? No, but the leaves are an integral part of the tree. Are you planting it for the branches? Absolutely not, but the branches are very important also. Are you planting it for the shells or the seeds? No, but you definitely have shells there and you definitely have seeds there. You're planting the tree for the fruit. Whatever fruit it is. It could be anything, but you're planting the tree for the fruit of the tree. There are other things there that help protect the tree, that protect it from all different things. The fruit, if not for the shell that goes around it, would be eaten by anybody that comes by. It would be affected by the wind or by things that are thrown up in the air, like little pebbles or anything else that might go through the air. It would be affected by it. If the leaves weren't there, then the sun would constantly shine down on the fruit and eventually make it shrivel up like a prune. That's what it would do because the sun is so hot. If not for the branches, it wouldn't have a place to go to see the sun and to get the rain on it, to be able to be rained upon and have the sun go on it or anything like that. You need the branches, you need the leaves, you need the shells, you also need the seeds to eventually start it all over. All these things are absolutely necessary. But what's the point of the tree? The point of the tree is not for anything but the fruit. So be careful with what I say over here because this is a dangerous thing to say to people. The Jewish nation is the point of the world. We are the reason why the world exists, and no other reason. If not for us, the world would cease to exist. And that means that it never would have existed, because there's no time by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if God decides right now He's stopping the world, then it never would have existed. There could be a guy sitting here right now, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want him to exist, so he never did. That's the concept. It's a very, very crazy concept that blows your mind. That's the kind of idea. But that's the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously wants this world to be because we're here. And if He didn't want us to be here, it would all have been gone in the first place. The other nations of the world are only here to help us with our existence. They are the klipos, the shells. They are the olim, the leaves. They are the branches, the sochos. They are all the different parts of the tree, while we are the fruit and the ikar of the entire tree to be made in the first place. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said this line, and some people like it, some people hate it. At Har HaBayis, when he looked down at all the Jews that were there in the Beis HaMikdash, he made a bracha. Baruch Shabara Kol Eilav Sham Sheni. Blessed is HaKadosh Baruch Hu that made all these people to serve me. What an unbelievable line. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, because he understood, he's the fruit. He is the ultimate fruit. So that means the following. Yitzchak was the pri, but he needed shells and leaves to surround him to help him out wherever he went. He needed klipos to be able to help him out so that his kedusha would not be affected. Some shells form themselves before the pri ever comes out, before the fruit ever comes out. That's Yishmael, who is born before Yitzchak. Some shells are only made after the fruit already grows and needs a shell around it. That's the Bnei Keturah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Avram Avinu to have it to make a tosefes to the ikar, an addition to what already is there and what's already so important. That tosefes is the shell. And that's by Yosef Avram Vayikach Isha. He made a tosefes. Guys, this gets into a concept. The Igor de Kala says it, but it's still there. Don't think that Avram Avinu needed these kids for Puru Revu. He already had a girl, Bakal. That's what the Gemara says. Or, Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, Kibi Yitzchak Yikara Lechazara. Yitzchak is your Iker Zara. You don't need anything else. But there's a mitzvah de Rabbanan to accomplish over here. The mitzvah de Rabbanan is, have as many kids as you can. Sheves. Have as many kids as you can and do more and more and more. That mitzvah de Rabbanan was a mitzvah that Avram Avinu kept, because we know Avram Avinu kept every mitzvah, even
the Durabanans.
He kept every mitzvah out there.
Now here's the... Oh! A mitzvah midrabanan does not destroy you or make you feel worse.
A mitzvah midrabanan helps you keep the mitzvos. Helps you keep the other mitzvos so much better. If you keep muktzah correctly and you don't touch those things, you won't come to be over on a mitzvah d'oraisa. You won't be over on one of the isurim, the lavin that are there from the Torah. That's the point of a mitzvah midrabanan. So what does the mitzvah midrabanan do? What does it do? What does it have? What does that happen to you? Here's what the mitzvah midrabanan does. It adds on to the point where it protects the ikker, which is the actual mitzvah itself.
Now listen how this goes. We all know what Shabbos is. Shabbos is the ikker behind the entire week.
We have a concept of adding on Shabbos to the week. What's it called?
Tosefes Shabbos.
What is that? You add on a little bit at the beginning of Shabbos, you add on a little bit at the end of Shabbos. Why? To be mekadesh the entire week. Why is it so hard to keep 72 minutes Motzei Shabbosim? The Rabbi Nutam, extra 22 minutes. Is it that big of a deal to keep Shabbos for 22 minutes? Well, you can't watch the movie at 8:30 instead of 8 o'clock. Is it that big of a deal? The fact is, if you add on that little Tosefes, that little addition to Shabbos, then all of a sudden the Kedusha grows, and it leads you till the end of the week. It leads you to the end of the upcoming week. You're adding on, you're making your whole week kadosh. If it's used correctly, if the Tosefes is used correctly, and it surrounds the Shabbos, it becomes a klipa to Shabbos, then the Shabbos makes the klipa part of it.
To the point where it's no longer an orange. It's an apple. And everybody likes the shells of apples. If you peel the shells of apples, you're weird.
That's what it is. You're eating the shell. You're making the shell part of the Kedusha. That's the idea behind this Tosefes. The idea of Yishmael and the B'nai Keturah is that if used correctly,
Yishmael and B'nai Keturah can become unbelievable. Can I give you an example?
I can.
Yisro.
Look at Yisro. He's the son, grandson of Midian. Midian is one of the six kids. If used correctly, Yisro can be an eyesight. He can be a protector for B'nai Yisrael. That's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu says to Yisro. You can be our Einayim. You're our Einayim, he said in Baal Uscha. You'll be our Einayim. You'll be our eyes in the Midbar. You should protect us because that's what you're here for.
Yisro might have said no. We don't know what Yisro said at the very end of the day.
But that's the concept that if used correctly, taking that Tosefes and making it Kadosh makes the Pri, makes Yitzchak Avinu ever so much holier. That's the concept.
The Chidah brings down that he never understood the following.
He said, if Avraham Avinu became so holy at the Akedah, so holy, became the holiest person who has ever existed, well guys, how in the world did he have six Tamei kids after that? He's holy. He's the holiest of holy people ever. Because of that Akedah. So how could you have Tamei kids? It can't be. But this is the answer. They're so kadosh. They're just klipos. If they're used correctly, they become unbelievable. If they're unused incorrectly, then unfortunately they mess it up royally. Where did he send these kids off to?
Kedem.
To the east. To Asia. To Eastern Asia. They became the progenitors of what we know as the Asian people. The Chinese, some of the Indians, all anybody else in that Eastern Asia place, that became them. What do you know about the Chinese and the Japanese and the Koreans and those from Taiwan, all the people around there? What are they well known for? Yeah?
They respect Jews.
Forget about respect. That is true. But it's more than just respect. In all other countries, you always have bodyguards for the President of the United States, for the Prime Minister of England, for the counselor, I think it's called, or the Chancellor of Germany. Whoever it is, you always have someone, bodyguards all around, who are willing to give up their lives to save the President's life, to save the Prime Minister's life, to save whoever it is, their life. In all these Eastern Asian countries, they're willing to do anything. Even the biggest Amah Aretz, the lowest of the low, is willing to throw himself and die for his king. For his premier, however they call it, whatever they would call it. They're willing to do anything in the world, just so that their premier will not die. That unbelievable. Where did they get that concept of Mesiras Nefesh from? Where did they get it from? They were kamikaze fighters in Japan. They were willing to throw down their ships, throw down their boat, their planes, on the ships of the Americans as they were coming through after Pearl Harbor. Willing to just go right down and kill themselves. For what? So that their country could survive. They have pride, and they believe in their country, and they believe in their premier. Where did that Mesiras Nefesh come from? You don't see that anywhere in Europe. You don't see that anywhere in Africa.
You don't see that anywhere else in Western Asia, even in the Middle East. The only time they were willing to kill themselves is based on killing other people with them, to do other things with them. The Americas, do you see any Indians, any American Indians that were like that? Who's Moser Nefesh like the Chinese? Who's Moser Nefesh like the Koreans for their premier, for their guy in charge? This is Avraham Avinu's kids. That's Moser Nefesh used in the wrong way. That's who they are. That's their whole essence. That's their whole being. That's what they're all about. They messed up royally. They messed up royally. But if used correctly, they can be our avodah. They can be people that can serve us with beyond the respect that you just mentioned before. Beyond what they need to do. Beyond the greatest avodah that could be out there. Not about them as in slaves and that we're going to enslave them and everything like that. But for them to realize what their tachlis is in this world. To be our klipos. To be our guards, the guardians of Klal Yisrael. That doesn't come at a very, very low price. That comes at a very, very high price. They're going to be with us forever, L'Asad level. That's the concept behind it, and that's the koach that they have if it's used correctly, if it's used in the right way. What an unbelievable line of what they have an ability to do, what they have and what they could do if they do it correctly. Now, let's end with this word from Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab explains the reason why this was needed in the first place, and this adds on to what we've been saying. Through your children, Avraham Avinu, the whole world will be blessed. Tell me, when did that happen? When did his children bless the entire world? With the Torah? I guess in theory. But what was this bracha? This is the pshat. He sent his kids out to spread the bracha throughout the world. That's what he did. He understood that he had to have more kids. He understood that he had to have 6 more kids to send them out everywhere. To Asia, to Africa, to Europe, to everywhere. To send them out to bring the bracha to everywhere they go so that the bracha reaches every corner of the earth. Because Avraham wasn't about his own kids. He was about everyone in the world. So he sent his kids out. Some of them, those 6 kids, went to Asia. Others, if you ever wonder what happened to the Avadim of Avraham Avinu, where they all went, where they all go, there go after Avraham Avinu dies, because Yitzchak has nobody with him. He has no entourage. He's got nobody with him. He sent them to Africa. And what about everybody else? Certain people went to Europe. And all of a sudden, the whole world is filled with Avraham Avinu's children and his Talmidim. And the bracha goes wherever Avram's Talmidim and children go. And that was Avraham Avinu's point. That answers where they all went. That answers all those types of questions. And maybe, just maybe, Avinu had a plan. And his plan was, if I send them out, that means Bnei Yisrael don't have to go out. If Bnei Yisrael don't have to go out, that means there doesn't have to be a Golus. Unfortunately, the servants he sent out and the children he sent out messed up. Look at India. Sent them out and they... Unbelievable Avodah Zarah. He was trying to teach monotheism to the entire world. And he may have succeeded for a little bit of time. But in the end they failed. So we were sent out to do the job instead. And Bnei Yisrael is to go out themselves. No longer is it his Avodim and the other 6 kids and Yishmael. They can't do it anymore. They messed it up. Now it's us. And that's why we're out here in Golos. And when we fulfill that tachlis, when we do that job... That's when Mashiach comes. That's the concept of doing it all over again and starting all over. So again, the summary. Why didn't Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak go instead of Eliezer? We understood they had different jobs. Yitzchak and Rivka, they had a different relationship. A pachad that was between them. A fear that was between them. The point in the 6 kids in Keturah, we said there was a pshat to have as many kids as possible. But then the idea of the pri and the klipa, the shell to that fruit, that the latter, the klipa, can be used as a tosefes that could only help Yitzchak. And in the end, who knows? Maybe they will. Maybe there is going to be some help from some unknown source to be able to help us in our final fight until Mashiach comes. But that's what's there. Do you think it's coincidental that when the Jews were trying to run away from the Holocaust, they went to Shanghai and they were able to survive there? So many Jews were able to survive in that area while no one else in the world was willing to take on Jews. China and Japan, who were technically on Germany's side, China not exactly, but those people were willing to take us in, even though they're on Germany's side. It's no coincidence, no such thing. Mikra is a malik. That's garbage. It's always 100% true. Always 100%. They are the klipa. And if used correctly, they could be an apple. That's the best you can get. Have a good job, Scott.